Hello and welcome to our exploration of the mind and thought of the female nationalist. We will do so via the small book called The New Bulgarian Female by author Fanny Popova-Mutafova. And I will be your narrator, the Pelasgian. So, let us begin.
Welcome back to the fourth part of the narration. This will be our final, so I hope that it was somewhat beneficial to all of you out there. Now, it would appear that I have forgot to add disclaimers in the previous part, where Greeks were being criticized for their actions. And this had led to some complaints from Greek comrades listening to Radio Aryan. I must admit that I'm itching to open my mouth and run for a bit. However, this narration was never intended to promote Bulgaria and its history, and demonize our neighbors. I took this labor of translating, recording, and editing this book narration because I thought it would be interesting and thought-provoking to hear the mindset and the thoughts of a female national socialist. Especially because when I started this, there was another drama in the global nationalist movement about women and their role in the movement and society. Of course, because our writer is a Bulgarian national socialist, and as any national socialist and nationalist who loves his or her people, she expresses great love and admiration towards the people and the nations that had benefited Bulgarians, thus her admirations towards Hitler and Mussolini. And will be extremely critical towards the people and the nations that have harmed or are harming our people. And exactly because she is a nationalist and national socialist, we have to deal with the fact that her views on womanhood, the role of the woman, feminism and so on, is intertwined with facts from our history. Now, if our comrades from the neighboring countries to Bulgaria do not like historical facts and truth, I would suggest that they take more interest into ideologies that have the center of their interests, the satisfying and the stroking of one personal ego, regardless of reality and truth. In the end of this intro, I would say that if we are to take pride in the achievements and glory of our forefathers, we must also take shame in their shameful actions as well. Now, with all of the nonsense out of the way, let's move to the first article. The first article is called For the Bulgarian Woman. For this, we do not have a date, so I suppose she wrote this exclusively for the book. And we start with the reading. When our girl completes high school, usually we assume that with this, she has completed the normal dosage of education that she deserves. And with it, with the fruits of 12 years of education, she enters life, which will have the most diverse demands of her. A small percentage of the graduated high school young girls continue their education in the universities. The rest remain home or is struggling to find some kind of a job in the various offices, local or government establishments, and so on. However, the education which the girl is given is designed exclusively for preparing the youth for university. For her social service of a mother and educator, of a wife and housewife, the Bulgarian girl learned nothing, or almost nothing, during those 12 years of comprehensive training of the mind. Because of this, today we could see women who can calculate with trigonometrical tables, who can translate from Latin, who can write chemical formulae, but do not know how to care for and feed the newborn, how to treat the infectious child diseases, how to correctly prepare and conserve the produce for winter, how to make tutmanik or spanachnik. Note, these are traditional Bulgarian dishes. Actually, we could call them something like fast food, since they can be described as oily bread with some kind of a filling. Tutmanik is with white cheese and spanachnik is with white cheese and spinach. And we continue with the text. What kind of behavior should the mother express towards her children during the various phases of the development of the small human? Childhood, adolescence, youth. Even in Bulgarian, the last two words have the same meaning to me, but I suppose she means young adult. We continue with the text. In the past, the woman knew exactly what kind of duty awaits her, and she prepared for it with dignity. Before she married, the young girl already knew how to knead bread, smear, to weave and cook, to sew and knit. Exams on these things she did not held, but in advance she was preparing herself for the strict evaluation of the mother and sisters-in-law. Today, our young girl is preparing herself for two services, without knowing which one she will need in her life, the career or the family. Because of this, we encounter university graduates with two degrees to sit helpless in front of some messed up or wasted meal, surrounded by the frowned forehead of the husband, the unhappy faces of the children, and the mocking smiles of the other members of the household. Or the opposite, to see excellent housewives and mothers in the family, who are forced to seek any exterior labor in order to support the family finance, due to the insufficient wage of the husband, or due to the fact that they have to support their children on their own, who cannot find work because they do not have any knowledge on typewriting, stenography, and do not know how to properly use any foreign language. The woman is on a crossroad. She has deviated from the old path, but still has not started walking on the new one. From one side, she is being thrusted forward by the powerful socio-economical needs, and from another, she is being held by her unchanging biological need. The silent heroine of an endless daily tragedy. She, without any doubt, is carrying her hard lot. Some time ago, the press announced that in a neighboring country, more serious education has been implemented in the household subjects. Few years ago, in Germany, a fundamental reform was done in the high school education. In Oberschule, where pupils study 8 years, the last three are divided into two sections, linguistic and physics-mathematical for the boys, and linguistic and housewifely for the girls. Latin can be studied by the girls only when they desire to do so, and only in their last 3 years at Oberschule, if they chose the linguistic section. If they wanted to get a complete classical education, along with Greek language, then, with a special permission, they can study in the linguistic section in the male Oberschule. In the housewifely section of Oberschule, the girls learn, along with the general educational subjects, disciplines that are preparing them for excellent wives, mothers, and female citizens. There, they have practical classes in kindergartens, nurseries, farms, and so on. But in both the female and male schools, the biggest attention is spent in learning of the national history, language, and geography. Our high school must give to the Bulgarian girl everything she will need for her future. That life will present to her in the field of the family, social pressures, or the calling towards a career. May the subjects that the high school girl is studying be equally evaluated and considered as essential when preparing the future mother and housewife, or the future clerk and professional, or the future university student. The high schools of today prepares the young girl exclusively for continuing her education in universities. Someone might object to this and say, quote, "We have handcraft and housekeeping taught in high schools, don't we?" But we all know that these subjects are viewed extremely lightly because on them one does not have to pass a final exam, nor he can remain in the same class when one has been given the lowest grade. But instead, usually in the housekeeping classes, the girls are writing their math homework, or translating from Latin, or they are sifting through the physics notebooks under the desk in order to prepare for the next class. And in the meantime, in the night gatherings, the mothers are working on the handcrafts of their daughters. Because the girls cannot keep up with their homework, given on the countless subjects, starting from chemistry, stereometry and mineralogy, ending with Latin and Greek. Also, it is impossible to think that one and the same program should be implied into both female and male high schools. Because there are subjects that are more natural to the male intellect, thus the girls should study them in less hours and in a bit more shortened forms. While, in the meantime, there are disciplines that are natural to the female nature that should be widely studied in the female high schools. Because it is well known that in the woman the intellect is underlined, while the essence of the man is reason, according to Schopenhauer. Medicine, home economics, languages, stenography, typewriting, interior architecture, psychology of the child and the youth, pedagogy, sociology, are the most important subjects which can be of use to the future housewife or the future female clerk. Our high school girls are learning 12 years some foreign language, but in the end, they cannot put two correct phrases together in front of the foreigner, or to write a simple letter for going abroad. 12 years they wander around all of the branches of science, as if all of them will become university graduates and will be striving to catch up with the man in his career, in order for them to not know in the hardest moments of their life not one useful information. When it is necessary to do a diphtheria injection to a child, or is it allowed to give castor oil to a newborn? Here the amazing frivolity with which is looked upon on the most important and holy function of the woman stands out, a function for which the woman never and from nowhere receives any serious preparation. Because of this, we can see daily unpleasant scenes, misunderstandings and youthful tragedies caused by the light-mindedness and negligence with which some parents look upon their task. So often one says, quote, create organizations not only for the protection of animals, but for the protection of children as well, end quote. It is not an exception the cases where youngsters are brutally mistreated, where the newborns are not cared for enough and malnourished, or where the parents are in complete ignorance of the teenage manifestations of the youngster, when it comes to the unchanging thrusts of youth. This will continue on while we have amateur mothers in their great mission, mothers who are trying to figure out in the darkness their own calling. We have far too many female scientists, far too many dedicated to their career, or far too many tired from the struggle for their bread in their professional field, woman, for them to be able to give more time for their duty. And let us not forget that for a nation like ours, we cannot be indifferent to the issue with the new demographic problem. For we know that for centuries we are subject to a systemic shrinking of our borders. Bit by bit, life flesh is being separated from the body of our mother fatherland. We see the melting of compact masses of Bulgarian minorities in order for us to start from the borders of Krum, Simeon and the Yesenev dynasty, and end in the pathetic shell of today, in which we live around 6 million people, when by justified right, we should have been at least 20, 30 million people. Because all over the Bulgarian peninsula, we can find traces of Hellenized, Serbianized, Turkeyized, Romanianized Bulgarians from Thessaly and Epirus, modern-day Greece, to Tulcea, modern-day Romania, and from Moravia, I think this is in Serbia, to the Aegean. For the Bulgarian people, the birth rate, the increase of the population, the child mortality, the protection of the child and the mother are issues of great importance. If we protect our people from degeneration and reduction, we can still live with the hopes of our nation, old and unchanging as the natural laws. All of these questions are inseparable from the question about the female education in our country. With the question about the place of the woman in all of the many entangled with one another social and national problems of our time. We must aid the Bulgarian female to remain in the family, to bring up more children and healthier generation. The Bulgarian female must be trained and educated in connection with the high and responsible duty that the modern needs of the nation gives to her. She must receive support from all sides in this direction. As a professional or as a housewife, the Bulgarian woman must be relieved in her motherly mission. Special care must be given to our female peasant, which selflessly continues to take the struggle of our demographic problem on her shoulders. To this silent saint, the most warm attention and the most loyal cares must be given. Reforms in education, accommodating to work all unemployed fathers of families, protection of the wife and the mother in divorce cases, firing employees with inappropriate behavior towards their family, noticeable increase in the wages of fathers of multiple children households, giving government loans for the furnishing of the newly wedded homes, with one-fourth loan forgiving when the first child is born, and full forgiving with the third. Preserving special work positions only for mothers who are heads of families, creating mandatory courses on housekeeping, child rearing, and eating science, which to be visited by fiancés and young wives. All of this is the first and the least that we could do for our woman. The one on whose lap is growing the Bulgaria of tomorrow. So this is a critique of the education system at her time, pointing out that high schools are basically not fulfilling their purpose to educate and prepare the youth for his future. Now, when I was in school, I know that there were such specified schools where they prepared the teenager for something like an electrician or welder or an accountant. But all of the possible professions were mainly oriented towards professions that are natural for the man. There were no such schools that were oriented towards professions that are in turn natural to the woman. And I'm not even suggesting the natural role of being a mother and a housewife, but the fact that it is obvious that women do prefer some professions over others, and there are professions in which women are always hired compared to the men. However, women are not prepared even for this. And no doubt this was even stronger back in her days. As she showed in the previous parts, the woman, after her emancipation, has the unfortunate position to be preparing herself for two careers, as a mother and as a professional. And she points the absurdity of the situation. At one side, you have the modern social demands from the woman to work in some kind of a profession. And on the other, the schools do not prepare her for the positions she will take. And she critiques this by basically saying something like, if you so desire for the woman to be part of the working force, at least prepare her for the positions that she will take. Of course, this is somewhat of a smart move on her part, because in this quote-unquote surrender statement is hidden the whole concept of the new time, that men and women are not the same. Because if people accept that there are professions that women prefer and that they are better at them than the man, this puts the whole idea of equality of the sexes, emancipation, and feminism under question. And what are the disciplines she suggests that the woman should be prepared for? Let's remind them here. Quote, medicine, home economics, languages, stenography, typewriting, interior architecture, Psychology of the Child and the Youth, Pedagogy, Sociology, end quote. Now, a few months ago, I had a YouTube comments war with one MGTOW who made an otherwise excellent video. In it, he was attacking the notion that women are smarter than men by using data from a study among A students in America, showing that male A students were the majority in classes like math, physics, IT sciences, engineering, while the majority of female A students chose disciplines like literature, languages, sociology, psychology, arts, and I think biology was there as well. The guy on the video was suggesting that because female A students were getting their A's from such disciplines that, as he suggested, are useless to civilization, women are of lower intelligence. Now, we as National Socialists understand that this isn't true in terms of the value of these disciplines for civilization. But with this information, let's review the suggested disciplines that our National Socialist writer proposes women should study. Medicine, that's biology. Home economics, well, I guess that's part of the housewife skills. Languages, stenography, and typewriting are connected to language and literature. Interior architecture, that's arts. Psychology of the child and the youth, that's psychology. Pedagogy, well, that's also psychology and actually caring for a child. Sociology. So, what do we have here? 70 years ago, the National Socialists suggested that women should study and practice professions that are natural for them. For this, they were called oppressive and bigoted, and that they limited the freedom of the individual. 70 years later, a study in America reveals that when there is no influence, young girls, thus women, naturally have interests and prefer these exact professions, and are en masse better in them. Now, it is interesting to note that not only women are not getting the needed education for a female, but we can say the same for the male. I do not know how it is in the West, but here there are no classes at all on stuff that men are interested in, or life will require of them to know once as heads of the family. Like how, when, and which power tools you need. How to use some kind of a machinery. Safety when working with those. How to make structures from wood. How to fix plumbing. What is the terminology behind various tools and objects that one might need when he goes to the hardware store. Rules and concepts when working with electrical installations. Basic vehicle repairs. Of course, I'm not saying that boys should study those subjects in depth, but as an overall knowledge, I think it's good. So you as a man can do small repairs or small projects in your own home. Today, and naturally, these skills and this knowledge is being and should be taught by our fathers. Sadly, not every adult male has this strong sense of duty towards his children. So it makes sense that we as National Socialists to demand that not only women should be prepared for their motherly and housewifely duty, but also men to be prepared for their role as heads of households and protectors as well. And not to rely on the hope for the private initiative, as she said in a previous article, of this or that father. And at the end, she continues with the same old propaganda we heard from previous articles. Have more kids, the woman should be working in the family, bigger wages for the man, and so on. But one suggestion needs to be called out. If the listener remembers, when in the first part I mentioned that some of her suggestions, time has proven that they cannot work. Well, I wish to call out her idea that the female and the mother should have preferential treatment in divorces. This is an example of something that we've seen that does not work. Because today we often see cases where otherwise dependent and capable fathers who want to take care of their child are neglected in custody cases, and the mothers who might be negligent towards her children receives the custody of the child thus the father's financial support for it as well. It is not rare the cases where children are given to their struggling with some addiction mothers, while their fathers, who are willing and responsible parents, are forced to obey the rules set by this supposed mother. And let's end this article and move on to the last one in this part and in the book. The tasks of the young generations. This article as well does not have a date, so I suppose it is written exactly for this book. To love one's homeland is a natural and inborn feeling. To prove this love with deeds is a duty. Perhaps as never before, this duty of ours has never been so imperative and unavoidable as in the historical times that our generation lives. Every passing day, every hour is of great importance for tens, if not hundreds of years. Before our eyes is being drawn with powerful lines the image of great and united Bulgaria, as it was envisioned in thousands of years by our distant forefathers. Such events in the life of a nation happen only once in few centuries. The rare happiness, but also the rare responsibility that fate has given to our generation must unite us in one single effort. To complete successfully that which was started, to protect that which was gained, with the price of every sacrifice. Because we today are gathering the fruits of the labor, sacrifice, and the efforts of the countless generations before us. Our task today is to preserve for the future this which was given to us by the struggle of the many years of the past. How our female can contribute with her actions for the achievement of this goal? Various are the means which the woman has for influence, but they can be formulated in few general principles. Taking part in the social and cultural life of the country, organizing herself in associations and unions, supporting any action that is driven by love towards her people, every deed of social and mutual help. With these, the Bulgarian female can directly be influencing the social opinions, but in no other place her influence is not felt as strongly as in the home environment, where the mother and the wife, as an advisor to the man, as a educator of the children, is giving the directions and the ideas in which our family is moving. Many are the obligations that the modern time forces upon our Bulgarian woman. Her responsibility increases to an extreme importance. This which until yesterday could be tolerated with some kind of forbearance, today the same thing is impossible or criminal to tolerate. The new renaissance that Bulgaria experiences, cleaning herself from many old deceptions and dangerous experiments, must also affect the life of the Bulgarian female. Because the powerful rejuvenating impetus of our people is expressed above all else in re-educating the masses, and this could be done mainly by the Bulgarian mother. The future of our people lays in the hands of our female. It is well known how many educated, awarded, and smart people decorated our history in the recent years, but also how few true powerful characters, How few wholesome people and steady fighters are there? And these characters can be created only in families where the mother is in the height of her calling. For this family, for this mother, no sacrifice is too great. The honestly concerned for the fate of their people, Bulgarian women, never, not even for a moment, have deviated from the main idea that the mother is the main upholder of the family, and that the family is the smallest yet the strongest cell in the organism that is the country. Because of this, the first and foremost efforts must be to once again elevate into a cult the image of the multiple children mother, holiness of the home environment, and the great mission of the woman, the continuation of the race. I say once again, because the cult towards the mother and the multiple children family is not something new for the Bulgarian female. If this natural feeling was only subsided and faded in our country, this was due to the malicious foreign destructive propaganda, which aimed at weakening the strongest base of our people. Because it is well known that if we could outstand the thrusts of 500 years of the double slavery, under the hits of the scimitar and the penetration of a foreign culture, this was due to, above all else, to the hardness and strength of the Bulgarian mother. She did not allow our people to become faceless, because with her song, with her attachment towards faith and language, she managed to protect our most precious natural holy relic, the language of Saint Kirill and Saint Methodius. She did not allow the nation to be destroyed physically, because she was fulfilling with rare self-sacrifice her motherly duty. Neither the forceful Islamization, neither the bloody persecutions, neither the Janissaries could erase the Bulgarian people from the face of the earth. The Bulgarian woman who gave life to 10 to 15 children was creating the Bulgarian nation as an inflexible whole, resistant and unerasable during all the storms and tribulations of the centuries of slavery. This was her greatest service, no matter how humble and faceless it may seem. This was her greatest achievement, to protect the Bulgarian nation from disappearing and melting. It was rightfully said, quote, "In order to speak about national problems, first and foremost, there must be a nation. And a nation does not only exist as a history or a territory, but above all else as human masses, which continue on generation after generation. When a nation starts to suffer from a lack of people, this is a sign of a coming slavery or end." The recent example with France was far too convincing of this in order for us to mention it once again. France did not die so fast, so fearsome, because it lacked weapons, forts, or riches, but because already they were undermined the most important pillars of the country, its youth and the family. End quote. Outlived its time, this malicious liberal Marxist propaganda, which through various organizations and with various means was spreading the ideas that the home environment was a prison from which the woman must be liberated, that the cares for the children and the home are boring and oppressive, that the Bulgarian woman will elevate herself as quote-unquote human being only through the path of economic liberation by entering into the professions, the offices, the establishments and the factories. This propaganda was unable to tear out the Bulgarian woman from her ancient traditional values. Because even when she was speaking about quote-unquote rights and freedoms, in practice, the Bulgarian female preferred to walk on the old path drawn out by her mothers and female ancestors. The visible damages were only seen in those circles where women easily gave in to the ideas that the home is a prison and the care for the children is an unpleasant headache. But because of the lack of financial stimuli, or because of the fact that their existence was well supported by the income of their husband. These women left their homes and gave their children in random hands, or preferred not to have them at all. By making sure they were well emancipated in the poker saloons and the festive celebrations. Because there is not one of these women who work in factories, offices or establishments, which have left in their home few children in the hands of ignorant servants, who at night, after the tiring work, returned home in order for them to start a new shift in the household labor. Not one of these women will admit that she prefers this hard, ruinous double labor in front of the quote-unquote home slavery. And whoever thinks that every woman can turn into an intellectual star of the highest level just because she's not quote-unquote getting dumped in the kitchen or next to the baby crib can actually take the effort to look around and see who is in fact the one who is getting dumber and who is keeping the high cultural level of the family. Is it the burdened with double labor female who works outside of the home and after that in the home, or the housewife who alone finds time to read a book, to bring it into her family, to give it in the hands of her husband or retell it to him if he, tired from the struggle for the bread, does not have time to read it himself? Others believe that the woman will aid in the enrichment of our society by actively intervening in the political struggles of the country, by exiting their homes and entering the parliaments. But it is quite well said by the leader of the German women, Mrs. Scholz-Klink, quote, "The woman must learn to think politically, not in the sense of waging political struggles, but to feel, think and sacrifice along with the rest of her nation," end quote. The future generation is created by the woman, the mother. Only in her hands lay the future of the nation, because in them the little human is growing up. In them his consciousness is formed. The home environment is the most favorable laboratory for creating the future directions on the road of our people. What more noble, more responsible, more greater task than this? Some circles in our country until recently consciously were deviating the woman from her holy mission by pointing to her the path of the lone wolf, by giving her the example of the few chosen ones. Someone might assume that if a woman or a man is involved in an intellectual profession, he then becomes a creator and elevates himself above his fellow tribesmen, merely because of the more favorite social opinion about his profession. And so our girl was directed by fashion, or by snobbery, to the university benches. Without even asking herself, does she even have a gift or a calling towards the discipline she is studying? In such a way were sacrificed many future excellent mothers, in order to be created, wasted fates, and needed by no one female intellectuals. Because the gifts and the creative impulse is created with the birth of the human and not by the desires of the individual. And how often we see young female university students leaving their education when they marry or when they have their first child. Others complete the university degree, take on the path of their profession, and again, after so many years of hard labor, to leave it after they had taken the first steps into the family life. For the women of the new time, who are returning back to the eternal and tried principles of our female ancestors, there are only few rules which they observe with veneration and in which they faithfully believe. And we will have a series of numerical points. Point 1. Nature gave to the man and the woman complete equality, but in different directions. The woman to work inside the home and to create the next generations, the man to work outside the home in order to feed and protect the young generations. Whoever wishes to be wiser than nature, he is punished by her. Point 2. Deviations from this rule are allowed only for those whose calling or unique nature demands of them to work in the fields of science, arts, technology, or the social organizations. The large names of the leaders in every nation, the compositors, the artists, the poets, scientists, are connected with many well-known anecdotes about their family misfortunes or their ascetic lifestyle. However, the sacrifice given by them in their personal life are redeemed by their great achievements in the field of the common well-being. If this is a valid rule for the man, then this applies even more for the female, who can sacrifice her duty towards the family and the race only if she has extremely respectful reasons for this, and not because she wants to imitate, follow a fashion, or fill her time. Any country on this earth has far greater need of a mother in a family that is raising 4-5 healthy, educated, happy children than a surplus competitor to the man in the offices, the government establishments, or in the workshops and factories. Because the united Bulgarian nation, with expanded borders, with secured fatherlands, has a need above all else of population, of compact Bulgarian masses, which will once again bring the sound of the Bulgarian language back to the Aegean, Thracia, and our extreme south. And it is known how big is the percentage of the child mortality and how decreased is the birth rate in our country. Point 3. If for a guiding principle we take the preservation of the woman for the family, all social and government events must be directed exclusively into this direction. And we have a series of alphabetical subpoints. Subpoint A. Increasing the economical power of the family, which will not need the material support of the woman, satisfying its every needs solely by the earnings of the man. Subpoint B. Creating big enough wages for the young man so that he can create a family in an early age. Subpoint C. Protection and support for the multiple children families. Subpoint D. Building comfortable housing for the multiple children families with gardens and playgrounds. Subpoint E. Planting honor and adoration towards the deed of the mother of multiple children. Subpoint F. Creating reliefs for the mother of multiple children in her various cares. Subpoint G. Cares for the decrease of the large child mortality rates. Point 4. Coordination of all services and organizations which are working for the benefit of the Bulgarian woman, the Bulgarian child, and the family, in one complete whole, where all initiatives will have their origin from one common idea, without contradicting themselves or in conflict with one another. Point 5. If the slogan of the past generation was, quote, a struggle for the rights of the woman, end quote, today the slogan must be, quote, a struggle to give us the possibility to fulfill our duty, end quote. The duty of the Bulgarian women, above all else, along with the men, is to create the new Bulgarian society, the vision of new Bulgaria, in which we'll be growing and strengthening, healthy, strong, free, economically prosperous, and happy future generations. In the world today, there are three systems of government, with three different views about the woman. The Bolshevik or Marxist system, which demands for the complete emancipation of the woman, for her complete equality with the man, and her separation from the family, giving her equal rights, but also equal responsibilities, often in the most hard services like metallurgy, the mines, and the army, and often depriving her from the holy right of every female being on this earth, to take care of her young. This system, pushed to its extreme conclusions, is against nature, against the interests of the woman herself, destructive for the family and the country. The system adopted by New Europe insists on the preservation of the woman for her natural field of manifestation, the family. Because of this, in the countries that had adopted the rejuvenating path of the new, the cares of the government are directed towards the effective protection of the mother, the child and the family, removing everything that is preventing them from their natural development. The Anglo-American plutocracies, the third system, are struggling to conserve the old situation, attaching to it new events, without having the courage to go to the extreme on the path of the complete emancipation, but also not having the courage to lay a strong and unified basis on top of which to build all cares for the mother and the child. In this way, we see ridiculous contradictions and inconsistencies, from which the only one who suffers is the woman herself, which cannot be in the same time an excellent mother and an excellent professional. If she attempts to solve these contradictions on her own, the woman falls into few impossible situations. To be a good professional, but a bad housewife and mother. To be an excellent mother, but a negligent and shallow white or blue-collar worker. Or to attempt to be excellent in both tasks, and with this, to ruin her physical and mental health. The support for the mother, with nurseries, shelters, kindergartens, are palliative measures, but not a sustainable solution. The ideal of the future is spacious, sunny homes, with gardens full with healthy and cheerful children, looked after by their birth mother, or fed by the well-paid father. To this happy image, we can compare with the opposite effect of the materialistic Bolshevik ideal. The father in a factory, the mother in another one, the child in the nursery or in the kindergarten, separated from one another, without their own home environment, without a connection between them, liberated and independent economically, but with unhappy perspectives for the aging woman and the growing, without knowing the purest human joys, children. The task for the young generation is to work for the realization of the ideas that today the new time takes as its slogans. The new shall win. So, let's talk about the article for a bit. I think it is mostly clear, so I wish to just point out stuff that I liked. First, right at the beginning, she was saying something to the effect that, quote, "We are collecting the fruits of the many years of the struggle," end quote. Of course, she was speaking about the Bulgarians' quest for liberation and unification of our homelands. But it sheds light on an issue that we often encounter when dealing with leftists or liberals. And that is the notion that we should not take pride in the achievements of our forefathers, even if we are of the same race and ethnicity, simply because it wasn't us who did those things. And another one I encountered was that these aren't our lands because we did nothing to deserve them, like shed blood for them. In her statement, however, we see the answer to this leftist individualistic notion. And that is that our forefathers shed tears, sweat and blood not only for their own benefit, security or survival, but for the generations after them. I once spoke with Zeiger on this topic, and he basically told me that a counter-argument is to tell leftists that what they are suggesting is that a father cannot take pride in the achievements of his son, or the opposite, the son in the father's achievements, basically suggesting we should use a parent-to-child relation in our arguments. Back then, I did not quite understood his concept. But her statement kind of made things clear. As any parent who loves his child, it is natural for him to want the best possible future for it. Most of us slave away in dangerous professions over many hours, so that our children, and hopefully their children, live a better life than us. So with this said, the assumption leftist liberals and individualists make when they say that we should not take pride in the achievements of our forefathers, or say that this or that land is not ours because we did nothing to earn it ourselves. They are basically assuming the notion that a child should not live or sleep in the house of his own parents, simply because it has no part in the purchase or the building of it. Or the assumption that the child should not eat from the food of its own parents, because it did nothing to earn it as well. Now, we are not children waiting on our parents, but the idea of parenthood is that we selflessly care for the child, which in turn will selflessly care for its own children. This same rule we could apply to the whole notion of ownership of the achievements of the past, and end up with the understanding that this ownership is given to us by birth, because this was the desire of our forefathers. We do not have to do anything to earn it. However, by receiving it, we are entangled in a law that demands of us to at least protect it for the next generation. And this is covered by the statement in her first sentences that, quote, to prove this love with deeds is a duty, end quote. Next, I think that she marvelously attacked the feminist concepts and ideas. Today, we got tired of people attacking feminists because they really are an easy target with their insanities. But most of these attacks are just directed towards the notion that the man and the woman are the same. She, however, is mainly aimed at attacking the feminist's idea that the woman in her natural role is a lesser human. So, let's look at this. First, she attacks the notion that the woman in her natural role as a mother and a housewife is unable to influence society and has no say in the political matters. In other words, she is just another slave who has no say in her life, her family, or her nation. Our National Socialist writer very thoughtfully pointed that the woman had the most influence, since she can influence the man, and as well, she is raising the next generation. Thus, she could influence the future in whatever way she sees fit. And this sounds all too familiar, as there are valid arguments in our movement today, that a big chunk of the downfall of our civilization is exactly due to the woman who raised the next generations with the ideas of feminism, multiculturalism, globalism, and so on. Second is the notion that the home is a prison and that the woman must be liberated from it in order to be a real human being. However, the writer makes a strong argument that this quote-unquote liberated from her home woman now has the enjoyment to be always working in two or more jobs. In other words, she got liberated from her home and enslaved by feminism. Someone might say that she could always decide not to have children, so that this double labor is avoided. But if we observe women, we will see that these women are an extreme minority. Most of them, even the ones who hold feminist views, still feel the need and desire to be mothers and to have a home to care for. Thus, in ignoring facts and nature, the only one who suffers is not the never-to-give-birth feminists, who are the minority, or the male feminists, or perhaps the evil patriarchy, but the average woman, which is the majority. Third is her pointing out the idea of feminists that women who are in their kitchen or next to the baby crib are just getting dumber. or basically that you're wasting your time in these actions. And if you take an intellectual job, all of a sudden you are smarter than the people around you. But again, she makes the logical conclusion that how can you have time to read books or educate yourself on this or that topic when most of your time you are at work? And when you get back home, you have again tasks to do. And by the end of the day, no doubt you're so tired that you don't want to read a book. And if you do so, you will just fall asleep. On the other hand, a housewife and a mother does indeed have time. Maybe not in the first years of childhood, since you must be constantly beside the little one. But with him or her growing up, the burden lightens. As a man and having so far only one child, I can speak only from my observations and not experience. But I've seen female relatives who decided that they will take care of their children without working. And with each passing year, the cares became less and less until at one point, one of them started working simply because she was bored at home, and the other gave birth to another child. So there is truth in the argument that the housewife slash mother at one point ends up having tons of free time for herself. Something that the working in a profession woman is only dreaming of and never experiences until she is too old to enjoy it. My fourth point was about the political power, but I already touched that on point one. So we move to the last point, which is the image of the lone wolf, by showing as an example few chosen people. And that is totally valid today as well. I mean, it would appear that this leftist, liberal, egocentric worldview could only be adopted by the masses when they are constantly given as an example a chosen few people who, thanks to their lifestyle or just fate or Jewish money, can live in this ideology. And by elevating these people in the eyes of the masses, our enemies promote these destructive worldviews. But as we touched above, the only one who is in loss is the masses, and not the few individuals who think and live this way. For this reason, it is imperative that we must spread our objections to these ideas in order to liberate our fellow white men and women from the supposed liberators. Now, in the end, she mentions that this is the tasks for the future generations. And while even the title is, quote, the tasks for the future generations, end quote, the point of the article is that it is directed towards the current generation, the ones who were in their 20s, 30s in her time. Because no doubt she understood that the task of her generation is to re-educate the next generation. So the real hopes for the future and the ones who will do the heavy lifting is the generation that is being raised or will be born soon. And this again sounds valid today, as often we see and predict that the coming race conflict and the survival of each white nation and the white race as a whole will be mainly on the shoulders of the infamous Gen Z. Now, does this mean that we should just clean our hands from the dirt, sit back, take a glass of our favorite drink, and just watch as Gen Z cleans things up for us? I think not, and I think this article has the same idea. Because we are the creators of the future by being the fathers and mothers of today. We have the duty to educate, to clean up the space, to destigmatize our views, in order for the next generation to bloom in them. And when we compare the environment this Gen Z is growing up and the environment we grew up in, our task is a hard one indeed. How can we be good mothers and fathers, moral and righteous citizens, when we are living in a world that hates these things? I think that each generation has its place in this whole game. The World War II generation had the task to preserve the memory of every detail of the war. The boomers had the task to analyze and break the myths of the war. The Gen X and millennials to promote and spread the truth. Some of you might object and say, Ah, the boomers, the Gen X and the millennials. These are the main reasons why we are in this situation. But how can we blame boomers, Gen X and millennials when they didn't knew any better? Up until the internet, any information, no doubt, was quite rare. Heck, boomers would have even less information. Because no doubt, after the war, if you were critical of the official narrative, you had to keep your mouth shut. Of course, this does not mean that we should not be critical of any generation. Actually, I'm quite critical of the growing Gen Z. But we must accept that each generation has a role, a duty to play in our struggle. And boomers, and to an extent Gen X, had done their part. And we must do ours, so that Gen Z can do theirs. This is totally in line with what I sense from her article, that we must not sit being idle and waiting for the next generation to fix things, but to act, because the next generations, no matter how red-pilled they will be, depend on us to break the taboos, to develop our ideas to a point where they can outstand any critique, to expose the lies, to spread the truth, and above all else, to be the physically, mentally, spiritually strong men and women that will inspire them to follow the truth. And with this, we end this part and the book itself. Through this journey, we learned a bit about the worldview of the National Socialist Woman. We learned that the National Socialist Woman was not just a woman who held the old traditional roles and values. She was something more than just the traditional housewife and mother. What made her superior was that now, at last, she understood why these roles, rules and duties were adopted by her ancestors. We learned that National Socialism did not look down on the woman, but instead had great reverence for her. Because they understood that the woman can destroy a race, but also only through her a race can be saved and elevated. We learned that while the National Socialist Woman held the traditional values, she already lived through the female emancipation and learned that not all women are created equal, and that a small percentage of them have a unique gift, a talent, or a strong desire for some kind of art, craft, or profession, and allowed these women to give up their role as mothers and wives, and to become an artist, scientist, engineer, and so on. But only if these individuals are guided by one simple rule: to be of a benefit to society, to aid it in whatever way you can. We learned that while the mother and the housewife was the most prestigious profession a woman can take, they understood that not all women are able to take this profession, either by economical needs or by, unfortunately, becoming the sole providers for her children. So the National Socialists demand and made sure that these women are hired only in the professions for which they have a natural inclination or are better than the man. We learned that feminism had nothing to do with fighting for the well-being of the female, but in fact, its aim was to destroy every connection the woman had with the things that were dear to her. Separating her from the man, telling her that he is oppressing her. Separating her from the child, telling her that the child is oppressing her. Separating her from her home by telling her that her home is oppressing her. And at last, separating her from herself by telling her that her own femininity is what oppresses her. In such a way, feminism made the modern woman nothing more than a hollow imitation of the man, something she was never meant to be. If this was obvious to our writer, with only around 30 years of feminism and female emancipation, then to us, who have the evidence of 100 plus years of feminism, it should be clear as day. Hail victory!
To the anti-white system on RadioArea.com.